up, everybody? It's Word Flash from Amped Up to Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I am here with It's the Nine Ball. How are you doing today, good sir?
Going good.
I kind of low key wanted to have like some sort of like crowd behind you, be like, it's the Nine Ball. How would you have felt if I did that?
Oh no! I mean, awkward. Like sitting in your room, like eight people just get bum rushed in the back.
Exactly. You never know what could happen. Maybe one day. But we have our trio with Mill, Dewey, Carrot. How are you doing today, good sir?
Tired.
Heard that, man. It's been a long day, though. Yes. Welcome to All Things Gaming, Episode 8, Season 2 of 2022. I am your host again, Flash, aka Malachi 36. Every Tuesday, in case you guys are new to this channel and everything like that, every Tuesday we get together, we talk video game news, anything that's been coming out that's new recently. We got 5 stories today, so it's a little bit of a lighter day, which is good. So we got a little bit more time to talk. I want to actually got a little bit meatier text from online and from different reporters and analysts and all that good stuff about everything that we're about to talk about. But before we get into that, there's a game, a very special game that came out over the weekend. And that game is Mildewy. What's that game that came out over the weekend that's very special?
Are you talking about Horizon Forbidden West?
I'm talking about Horizon Forbidden West. Yes. And anyone that knows that this is a game that's on that caliber, that if you have PTO or anything like that, you take your time off for it, you take that time off for it. Just like my boy Mildewy Carrot just did. And I want to ask you, Mildewy Carrot, where are you at right now with the game? How do you feel? I know you're going to be doing a video review later on, but just a little sneak peek into what's going to be in the review. Where are you at?
So I don't know the depth of how far into the story I am in terms of progression. I must say I'm getting pretty far into it. I want to say possibility of halfway, maybe. And the reason it's only halfway is because there's a lot of side missions. If anyone remembers Zero Dawn, there's a lot of open world. There's a lot of shiny stuff out there that can easily distract you. Especially when you're looking at your map and you're like, all right, I need to go. Ooh, there's a question mark. Let's go to it. So there's a lot of that going on. All in all, though, I am not disappointed. I found some funny stuff that has occurred and some stuff that I'm like, But to be honest, this game is so huge that it wouldn't surprise me if a few small things fell through the cracks, you know? And it's not something to immediately shut the game down on and, like, rage quit about. You know, and it could just be maybe it's my copy. You know, maybe my copy had a little bit of a hiccup when it was installing, you know? So, but all in all, it is a fantastic game. The story has got me hooked beyond belief with what's going on. It's just incredible. They did a wonderful job with a sequel to the game. If I had to rate it comparative to the prequel, I know what I'm saying is just if I had to say like I would say it's so far is taking it. It started off on the same level that Zero Dawn like ended at, and I feel it's stepping up. I'm not gonna say it's like a huge jump. But it brings back that good old classical Horizon Dawn feel and adds more stuff into it. Some more changes, more, you know, modifications, especially new flavors, as you saw in the videos with the new clans and everything. So there's a lot of new stuff, but I think it's going good, really good so far. So can't wait to try and complete it. And I will try and remember to do a video on it, but you'll have to be patient with me, guys. My life's kind of going up and down right now. With mine and my family, so you know, if it's not out some by midweek or something, you know, probably next week is when you'll see it.
Sounds good. Let me ask you this: I know you said that you don't know exactly where you're on the story, and I don't want to go too heavy into it because I want to save you something.
No, halfway. But I don't know.
Well, I was about to say, do you think in your heart that you will have a beat by this weekend?
If I keep up the pace I'm doing right now, possibly. And it depends upon how much more shinies I found. I will say this. Half of my map is still covered in Fog of War.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. Like I said, that's a lot of shinies out there. Thank God there's chargers that you can just mount up and ride into the sunset on, because that would have been a pain in the ass to run through all that. You know, that and fast travels. Thank God for fast travels.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a really big map, really good game. Like, the first, like, I want to say, I really want to say maybe about 8 to 9 hours of the gameplay that I've done so far, I feel like I was in just the beginning area of the Daunt. Like, there was a lot in there. The Daunt, and then also in the, let me rephrase that. Not just the Daunt. That was with the prologue, intro, and then going into the Daunt and doing side missions and everything. And there, I feel like I took about a good 8 hours, you know.
Yeah.
That's me spitballing, because I honestly don't remember when last Friday started right now. So, you know, that's just me spitballing.
Heard that. Yeah, I'm excited. I picked it up myself, and I got through the intro for sure. I'm liking the energy of the game. I'm liking the first comrade that you run into. All that good stuff, and I'm still, again, very, very early on, so I still have a lot to go. I have a lot to catch up on Mildew and Caradon, so we can have discussion as far as this goes. And maybe one of these Alt Things Gaming will be a discussion after we all completed it, all that good stuff. Nineball, I can't remember. I feel like I ask you this once every 3 months. Where are you at with Horizon Zero Dawn? Did you play it and beat it? Were you interested in it ever?
No, I like it. It's just it's in my backlog.
Gotcha. Do you plan on getting Forbidden West anytime soon, or are you going to wait until Zero Dawn's finished first?
I'm going to wait till Zero Dawn's finished first, because I won't understand the story otherwise.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, again, be on the lookout for that. Video post-review for Horizon Forbidden West is done by yours truly down below. And you guys will see that come out within the next week or so. Also, want to throw out there for anybody that, again, is coming here for the first time, we do a thing online where it's a little fun fantasy gaming league, if you will. It's very similar to fantasy football, and it works on an annual basis. So instead of you going against your one person every week, you're against everybody that's inside the league together at the same time, and it is scored on a 100-point scale. So, but 70 points being the threshold, meaning anything that scores above 70 points on the Open Critic / Metacritic gains you points. Anything that scores below loses you points. So if Horizon Forbidden West came out and it got me in in 89, which is what it actually did get me on this fantasy gaming league, then that got me 19 points, because that is 19 points above 70. However, if it does terribly, I'm just going to say Tiny Tina's Wonderland, it's not scored right now, but like say if it ended up getting a 60, that's 10 points below 70, so that would have lost whoever has it, which is Zaka Corp in this situation, 10 points.
Hey, try to jinx me.
So, I do want to start it off right here, because right now we are about 3 months in. We're just shy of 3 months in Fantasy Gaming League, and I just now took the lead. Not by a lot, not by a lot at all, but here's what the current standings are right now between the six of us. Moga, which is Make Ohio Great Again by Ohio, he has Pokemon Legends Arceus. He has 14 points from that. Sifu, 10 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, pending. Marvel's Midnight Suns, pending. Elden Ring, pending. Coming out this week. This is Elden Ring week, by the way. Happy Elden Ring week, everyone. But it's pending. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, pending. He has two open spots, and he has a counter pick of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which is confirmed not coming out this year. Renzoku-ken by Silent has God of War Ragnarok, pending. Triangle Strategy, pending. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, not coming out. Chocobo GP, pending. Kirby and the Forgotten Land, pending. Final Fantasy 16, pending. Metroid Prime 4, pending. He has an open spot, and he has Diablo Immortal as a counter pick. ALWT Gaming, represented by me. I have Horizon Forbidden West, 19 points. A Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Starfield, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, pending. Gotham Knights, pending. Redfall, pending. Mario Strikers Battle League. That's when we were talking last week. I was like, I'm going to pick the... I have a plan. Because number four, I have Babylon's Fall. Y'all didn't see that. That was a little trickery I went ahead and did there. So yeah, Mario Strikers Battle League, pending. The King of Fighters 15 got me 12 points. And I have a counter pick, a Bayonetta 3, mainly because I don't think it's going to actually drop this year. But we shall see. Illuminatus Living by LSB Live has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, got 7 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, pending. Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, pending. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. 2 open spots, and he has Saints Row as a counter pick. Zaka Corp has Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2, pending. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, pending. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, pending. Saints Row, pending. Total War, Warhammer 3, is 18 points. Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, pending. 2 open spots, and he has a counter pick of Marvel's Midnight Suns. And lastly, but not leastly, is Carrot Patch Inc., a.k.a. Meal, do we care? He has Gran Turismo 7, pending. Forspoken, pending. Tunic, pending. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, pending. Salt and Sacrifice, pending. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counter pick of Chocobo GP. So in that rating, ALWT Gaming is first with 31 points. MOGA is second with 24 points. Zaka Corp is third for 18 points. Illuminatus Living is fourth for 7 points. We do have a tie for last, but as of right now, technically, Mildewy Carrick, a.k.a. Carrot Patch Inc., is fifth place, mainly because Rinzokuken Silent has a counter pick that's not coming out this year. So there you have it. If you guys are following closely, watching closely, that is our current list right now for the Fantasy Gaming League. If you guys know what's good for you, root for your boy to come out on top in December.
There's three of us on here, and Moga's probably fuming in the background, so
yeah.
Just saying.
But without further ado, I want to start talking about these video game news that just came out recently today. This one came out today, and this is story number one, the PlayStation VR 2 reveal. Ladies and gentlemen, it is coming on out, and I have, this is a two-parter here. So the first one's from the PlayStation blog post. Hideaki Yoshinoi from PlayStation blog post says this in their article, or says this as a statement, actually. Today, I'm especially pleased to reveal the stunning new design of our next-generation VR headset. PlayStation VR 2, together with an updated and final design image of our PlayStation VR 2 Sense controller. You'll notice the PSVR 2 headset is similar shape as the PSVR 2 Sense controller, taking on a matching orb look. The circular orb shape represents a 360-degree view that players feel when they enter the virtual reality. So it's a shape that captures it nicely. The design of the PSVR 2 headset was also inspired by the look of the PS5 family of products. When our design team created the PS5 console, they also had the next generation VR headset in mind, so you'll notice some similarities in the look and feel. The PS5 console has a flat edge as it is meant to be displayed on a flat surface. While there are more emphasis on adding roundness to the design of the PSVR 2, since it was meant to have a constant human contact, similar to the rounded edges on the DualSense controller and the Pulse 3D headset. Our goal is to create a headset that will not only become an attractive part of our living decor, but will also keep you immersed in your game world to the point where you almost forget you're using a headset or a controller. That's why we paid very close attention to the ergonomics of the headset and the conduct, and conducted extensive testing to ensure the comfortable feel for a variety of head sizes. We already had a lot of positive feedback on the ergonomics of the first PSVR headset, by carefully balancing the headset weight and having simple headband that can be adjustable. So we kept the same concept for the PSVR 2 headset. The other features such as the headset's adjustable scope and the places the scope or area are closer or further away from the face and placement of the stereo headphone jacks also remain the same, so players will be familiar with it. End quote for the blog post. Mildew Care, do you mind reading part two as I pull up an image of this PSVR headset?
Sure. Darren Bontius from GameSpot. Sony has shown off the final design for the upcoming PS VR2 headset and the accompanying Sense controllers, which feature a look into similar to the PS5's aesthetic design. Like the console, the virtual reality hardware has a white finish, soft curves, and a matching orb motif. According to Sony, the circular orb shape represents a 360-degree view that Other features of the headset include a focus on comfort, as the hardware has a lens adjustment dial for users to dial in the distance between their eyes and the lenses, a slight weight reduction when compared to the previous PSVR model, and the new vent design. When I started working on it, started working on the design for the PlayStation 2 VR headset on one of the areas, wanted to focus on first was the idea of creating a vent in the headset to let air out, similar to the vent of the PS5 console that allows airflow. SIE senior art director Yujin Morisawa explained in a PS blog post, "Our engineers came in with this idea as a good way to allow ventilation and avoid having the lens fog up while players are immersed in their VR games. I worked on many designs, concept to choose this, and the final design you can see there is a little space between the two top and front surface of the scope that contains the integrated ventilation. I'm really proud of how this turned out and the positive feedback I've gotten so far. I hope our PlayStation fans will also agree. I can't wait for them to try it out."
Yes. So if you guys can see right here on the stream, and I have it kind of overlaying our faces right now, you guys can see the PSVR headset too right there. And it does have the little sphere of the controllers. I know that there's going to be dual sense and haptic feedback in both the controller and the headset. I'm curious to see how they're talking about, because I know that the sound itself, I think, is also built inside the headset. But I wonder if you could just use your Pulse headsets with this as well, as far as sound goes, for the 3D audio, or if that's going to be included inside whatever that they give you for the head device itself. I know that I'm in that camp to where I think I'm the only one that's like looking forward to this and excited about this. But this is something that I am, again, looking forward to. Like, I can't believe it's not that far away from what it feels like, especially since that the design finish. And I'm curious of when it's actually going to come out with all these, because of all these shortages that we, these chip shortages that we have right now with the next gen console, which now is really current gen console, but just hard to get your hands on them still. This chip shortage is not going away anytime soon. But I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to be affecting PlayStation VR 2 when that actually comes out. So I want to take the conversation with you there first, Mildew Carey. What do you think about, how do you think this is going to be affected? Do you think this is going to be affected? Has your mind changed since you've seen it or been thinking about PlayStation VR 2 at all? Where are you at with this?
I'm still going to hold off on it. I'm not too big of the fan of VR. I mean, it seems cool, don't get me wrong. It's just, I feel like there's still a lot that can be done to really, truly bring it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's got a good enough of a fan base and, you know, group using it to where they get a lot of good data from it. So I'm kind of just going to be like, I'm going to sit back and wait until they work on more stuff with it. And, you know, probably get a little bit more fine-tuned. So I've been seeing it evolving. So that's good news that it doesn't seem to be receding at all, but it is evolving. So I'm probably just going to wait for the final evolution before I really, make a decision or anything, you know?
Right. Nineball.
I'm in the same boat. I've never been too huge so far in the VR. I've seen a couple games that look good on VR though, but it's never really been my thing. So it looks nice. Don't get me wrong. I've seen the pictures. I was just looking at the pictures. They look really nice. It looks extremely comfortable, and it looks like where you hold your hands at is going to be pretty good. And it doesn't look as intrusive as if you're wearing, like, I don't know, a big Band-Aid or tape over your head.
Wearing a football helmet.
Pretty much. And it looked like going to fall off. It looked like a Virtual Boy. Anybody remember that thing?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't look... It doesn't look as bad as that. So they're definitely getting up there in it. Did they say pricing?
No. All we have right now is like what it can do and the design of it as of today.
I'm betting probably four, I would say five. Probably around three.
I was about to say, I'll be closer to three. I don't think it's going to be more than the console. And if the cheapest digital version of PlayStation is going to be $400, I can see it being maybe $350, $300.
Yeah.
I don't see it's going to be more than the console.
Yeah, that's why I went back when I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's five, then you're spending a grand
for
that's a little steep, even for a hardcore fan, so.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm very excited about this. I do want to see Horizon Call of the Mountain. I want to see how that plays on this.
That does look interesting, but
And you're welcome to come over once I get it all together. You're welcome to come over and try it out. I'm gonna
get that text. I've got it. Knock, knock, knock.
That's exactly how it's gonna go. I definitely want to try it out. I do want to kind of feel how boxing games are going to be in it. I do want to play some football games in that. I think that would be really cool too as well. One of the things that's kind of selling me even more about it, because I was excited about PlayStation VR, but I never actually got PlayStation VR. It's just never been something. And there's even a certain point where I just forgot about it, period. But VR 2 has its hooks in me. For the simple fact of the matter is that the 3D audio, the haptic feedback, and they're having DualSense in the kit too as well to try to make it a little bit more realized. That is something that I absolutely love about the PS5, and I can't wait for more games to do that, more developers to utilize that feature even more on their games. You can sense it a little bit inside Horizon Zero Dawn, and I know we were talking about this before, but as you walk through the tall grass, you feel the different angles of that inside the controller. When you pull back the bow, you feel that tension inside the bow. I'm very curious to see how they're going to implement stuff like that in a VR construct. So... yeah,
it's a shame they can't really reenact a full bow in VR, like actually have it like you try and be full tension and all. It's like, I've got this. It's like, you know, can't do it. You know, you're just like, I'm a super bowman, and an actual archer's looking at you going like,
yeah.
Story.
Hey, no, none of that.
Story number two. I did have myself a raised energy drink, which other people can get theirs at repsports.com. Type in LWT Gaming at checkout and get 15% off. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about story number two, which is countdown is over for Capcom. Enters Street Fighter 6. So we had speculated this last week during the same show, actually. And
I lost!
Yeah, we were speculating this last week, and we were thinking that some were thinking that it was Resident Evil. I was kind of in the camp that I believed that was Street Fighter by all the information that was leading up to that, but I was secretly hoping it was Power Stone. So the leak is over. It's officially confirmed right here. Eddie Mackick from GameSpot says this in their article. Capcom has officially announced Street Fighter VI, the next entry in its popular fighting series. A teaser trailer shows every shredded look Ryu preparing to fight Luke, a DLC character from Street Fighter V. There is also a close-up of feet in case you're that interests you. Here comes a new Street Fighter. Capcom says it all in all caps posts. More news about the game is to be expected to come this summer. As of yet, Capcom has not announced platforms or a release date, nor do we know anything about what gameplay changes and improvements can be expected. Street Fighter V was released in February 2016, so it's just recently marked as a 6th anniversary. The game has sold more than 6 million copies, while presumably it's made tons of money from DLC sales too. Capcom veteran and longtime Street Fighter producer Yoshinori Ono recently left the company, so Street Fighter VI will be produced without his involvement in a big shakeup for the series. In addition to Street Fighter VI, Capcom announced the Capcom Fighting Collection, which includes 10 classic fighting games, which it launches June 24th for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. End quote, end story. So, I'm more or less, and I'm going to start off with this one, because I have a question for you guys that afterwards too as well. I am in that camp that when I first, in my early stages of gaming, which is, I mean, the first system that I've owned, I guess technically was a Super Nintendo, but the first system that I remember fully owning was a PlayStation 1. And I remember always just having, like, friends in my room, my brother being in my room, and all that good stuff. And we would be playing Tekken, we'd play Street Fighter, play some Mortal Kombat, a little bit of Killer Instinct, but that was a Super Nintendo thing. So I do remember playing a lot of those fighting games, and of course with the occasional Gran Turismo, which I can't remember which one it was at the time, probably the first one. But Street, like, fighting games in general is kind of like a special case for me, to where I loved them a lot when I was younger. Growing up, getting through more of the RPG style, the open worlds and stuff like that, I kind of put fighting games to the back burner. Demon Slayer is probably the most recent fighting game that I played that I've thoroughly enjoyed and ended up beating the campaign on it. And I do like the way that Jump Force mechanics work. There's a few things I do have about Jump Force. Like, I wish that for Jump Force it was similar to Marvel vs. Capcom, to where you can, everyone has their own separate health bar instead of everyone sharing a health bar. I think that's a thing against it, in my opinion. However, I did like the mechanic, the way it moves, having the fantasy inside the real world, all that good stuff. With that being said, I'm very curious to see how this next Street Fighter is going to pan out. I don't think this is going to be something I'm going to pick up, but also the question does remain if it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive or not. I think it's not going to be. I mean, I know PlayStation have bought EVO last year, which is a huge fighting event, if you will. But I do think that I agree with Khalif Adams when he talked about it as well, where he said fighting genres at this point is already a very niche thing. And if you're going to make that PlayStation, like in order for them to thrive successfully to the caliber that they have, they should put it out on all the platforms available. So I do agree with them on that. But the question is Capcom/PlayStation, are they going to do that? So, and I have a question, follow-up after you guys give me your thoughts about this news for Street Fighter VI. I want to start with you there, Nineball.
I don't see how... Is Capcom owned by Sony?
No.
I don't see why then they would do it. They own... EVO's an event. It's not really the games themselves.
Yeah, but it's the thing, though, is that it's... You're correct about that, but the thing is that it's like the fighting event, and now PlayStation owns them.
That really won't affect Capcom at all.
I don't know, man.
You can do that, but you look like a total douche. I mean, how are you going to look? Well, you can't bring this game because Xbox has it. So you can't bring it to the tournament. That's like if you went to the Super Bowl and let's say the Rams couldn't show up because they was in California and the guy hated California.
No, not necessarily. So with that analogy, it's not... All right, yeah. The NFL owns all the teams technically that's out there right now. With that analogy, that's like trying to say OSU is trying to get inside the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. Basically, the EVO event is just a tournament. It's owned by PlayStation, which means PlayStation was sponsored.
Right.
Which means you're going to have a lot of PlayStation ads. I don't think you would make it a PlayStation exclusive for that. I mean, you could make Street Fighter PlayStation exclusive because of that. And I wouldn't bother putting pressure on them. That's a bad way of creating business. I mean, you might have companies start pulling out of it. Because then if you do that, you would have to take Mortal Kombat out. Mm-hmm. You would have to take King of Fighters, Melty Blood would be pulled. Trying to think of some other ones. Virtual Fighters, because they all are on multi-consoles. They probably will almost always be, unless you, let's say, own the company. Getting over to the other point about the thing about the Street Fighter, I don't really know. I mean, I've never really played five. I played fighting games was basically like with you, it was the same with me. I used to play a lot with my family. Friends used to come over. We used to play like Mortal Kombat, or we used to put a lot of Dead or Alive, Bloody Roar.
Bloody Roar. You had to say the word.
We ran that game constantly. Like we ran that one. We ran Dead or Alive tournaments in our house. Like I said, we ran some Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, stuff like that. But I've never been huge on fighting games. Like, I played a bit of them, but I was never big on them like that. So, I mean, I'm glad and I hope that it does well for the fans and all the people that do play them. But for me personally, it's going to probably not be a pickup.
Mill, Dewey, Carrot.
It's another fighter game. I've never been big on fighter games. The biggest one I probably played was like Super Smash Brothers, you know, on the GameCube. Other than that, we never really got into those, me and my bro. What we did get into a lot of was like the multiplayer co-op shooters, like, you know, Medal of Honor. We got into Halo, Army 2, Gears of War, you know, Call of Duty, that sort of stuff when we were younger. We also did a lot of like platformers, like single player platformer, story rich stuff. Was a lot of our things. So, I mean, I guess it's nice that they're doing to bring Street Fighter out, because it does have its own following. So it's good that they're, you know, keeping that alive for their fans and all, you know, keeping it going for them. I don't think it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, because they're pretty much will cater. I feel like they're going to cater to everyone on every system, at least. The PC one, though, I don't think it'd be PC right away unless they've got the port already done for it. But I can see it on console.
It will be on all of them. Most PC players usually use controllers anyway.
And I think part of the conversation too, I think part of the conversation is that Street Fighter V, when it initially launched, was a PlayStation and PC exclusive. I don't remember exactly why, but I know that was like an issue, but I think that's part of the reason why people are wondering what this means for Street Fighter VI. Because that is something that's floating around right now a lot, as far as like what consoles is it going to be out for and everything like that.
I feel like all of them.
I think it would be smart to do it on all of them, especially with what we just said as far as it being a niche audience still and everything like that. I think it would be smart on all of them, but I know that when Street Fighter V had a niche, I don't know if it was like, because there's like four different versions of Street Fighter V, so I can't remember which version it was, but I do know that one of them, when it had initially launched, it was a PlayStation and PC exclusive.
I don't really know if I said that is because I've been seeing recently where it's like they'll launch the games on console, but then they won't launch PC until later. So I'm not saying it's never coming to it. I just curious if it's going to be one of those ones where it's going to be console launch first and then they'll do PC afterwards.
Right.
I'm reading something that says it's on.
trying to choke myself in my water.
Yeah, live.
Don't do that. It's not bad yet.
Not the right way to clean out the pipes.
I do want to ask you guys.
Yeah, yes.
I do want to ask you guys a couple things. One, in the past, I feel like Street Fighter, Soul Calibur, those types of games have been very popular as far as getting DLC characters from other games into their game. Who is somebody that you guys will be likely to see or want to see? And I'm going to start off with you there, Mildew Carey. Pretending you're a fighting person.
Like a DLC of like into this game?
Yeah, a DLC character that you would want to see inside of a Street Fighter game. Street Fighter 6 specifically.
It would have to be someone who is like fighting based, to be completely honest. So, Ooh, that's a good question. I'm trying to think here.
I'm doing the same thing.
Of like I know that's like a fisticuffs. I mean, the only ones I can maybe think of.
I had some ideas, but they've already been put in Street Fighter.
Well, I was supposed to say, I have three different ideas if you guys want me to share my thoughts.
One of mine was originally Hayachi, but he's already been put in there.
Yeah, on the Street Fighter Cross.
I don't know. Yeah. Put Ken in, have her beat people with her stick.
I
don't know how, like, I've never played, like I said, I've never played Street Fighter, so I don't know who they put in, how they put them in and all. Normally, when I'm thinking of Street Fighter, I'm thinking, like, it's main fisticuffs and everything. Like, you know, I don't think you use weapons, not like Soul Calibur, so maybe Ken would actually be a better fit for Soul Calibur if you're going light like that, but, you know, that's also very dark with those ones. So, I really don't know of anyone else besides, like, people in the Avatar series who do fisticuffs, you know, like put people from the Avatar in who are, like, you know, use just the base martial arts and not their actual elemental abilities, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, there's one that did come to mind, and it was the first thing that came to my mind, and it's new. And it is putting in Sifu inside Street Fighter. I think that'd be very interesting. I think that'd be
How would you input?
Because you have male and female characters
with Sifu. You can put them both. Put them both in.
Hmm.
You can switch plus they can switch the outfits in Street Fighter. You can switch the color of their gi and stuff like that. Or even if they're, again, if they do have different stuff that they wear, they could do that. You could make that be male, female as another costume. So yeah, I think that'd be very creative. I don't think they'll do it, but I do think that'd be very creative and definitely unique. Do you guys think that they're going to... I mean, obviously, it doesn't look like it's... They did say what engine it is. It's going to be running an RE engine. They did confirm that.
Yeah, that's their in-house engine. It's the Resident Evil engine.
Yeah, so yeah. It's going to be running an RE engine, but I do want to ask you guys, and I know that you haven't really played Street Fighter there, Mildewy, but of course, feel free to chime in. Do you think they're going to keep the 2D side-scrolling setup towards like 3D 2D, or do you think they're going to adapt a little... Tekken adaptation in there now that Tekken is pretty much finished? Mildewy.
I was going to say I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of tried to stand up to Mortal Kombat with what they did, because, I mean, I never played the game, but it looks like Mortal Kombat's got this full 3D fighting environment almost in a way to where, like, you can lock onto the person and move around and do rotations. Mm-hmm. It's either that, or if not, then they'll probably do it like it... The only other game I'm familiar of is the Injustice game, the fighting game. So like where it's still like side scrolling, but with 3D models and then in interactive environments with doing stuff and all. So that's the only other one I could possibly see. Like I don't know fighting games, but and you can all correct me if I'm wrong on the Mortal Kombat thing, but from what I saw, I thought I saw from some trailers or stuff where they showed like they were able to almost move around freely-ish in a way.
So I think you're not off the mark. I do think that's going to be more similar to Injustice, to where it is 3D models but on a 2D setup. However, because they did have Akuma inside Street Fighter VI, and he worked very well in Street Fighter VI, I wouldn't be surprised if they did do some sort of adaptation for a 3D setup to where there is an environment like that and you're just going ham with each other. I doubt that they will do that, but I won't be surprised if I see it.
I'm thinking they're going to keep it more of the same. I mean, yeah, the graphics will get better, but I don't think they're going to go to a 3D, like a Dead or Alive 8-way movement where you can circle your opponent and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It, in some ways it's good, but in other ways it's bad, because in certain instances of, like, let's say you play a main control character. Let's say you play like a Dawson, which is basically a field controller. It makes it, I guess, for those types a lot harder because you can easily rush in on them. And number two, the player base has usually always been built around that. I feel like you would want to experiment with it probably on a different game before you would bring it over to Street Fighter, and maybe if they take to it, maybe you may go over, but I don't think they're going to more or less just take it and go, here, complete eight-way movement. You may be right. Like, I think the only thing they may do is sort of like Mortal Kombat 11 and stuff, to where you can use the background. You may be able to do that, but I don't think they're going to just, you know, go complete, you know, can circle, run around your opponent and stuff like that.
Yeah, instead of it being like it's not an arena fighter, but it's not going to be an arena fighter style. It's going to be more 2D is what you're thinking.
Yeah, 2D or 2.5D in a way. Like Mortal Kombat has something similar. While you can't really go around, they have abilities that allow you to go behind, you know, Scorpion's teleport, stuff like that.
Right.
And Street Fighter, like I said, has always been known for that. You know, you don't want to get locked down in a corner, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I am with that.
Again, wouldn't be surprised if I do see some sort of Tekken inspired game developed here, but only time will tell. I'm rather wait until this summer. This one's a fun one. I know two out of three of us are fully caught up on all of the games, and we just talked about this actually last week with one of the viewers that were watching with us, and we talked a little bit about it. Dragon Age in 18 months. That is a year and a half is when it should be coming out. So on here, Jessica Howard from GameSpot says this in her article. If like so many of you have been waiting patiently for any news regarding the next installment of Dragon Age series, you're in luck. News reports state that Dragon Age 4 is, quote, in very good shape, end quote, hitting milestones, and is set to release on schedule. Assuming this is all true, it looks like we can expect Dragon Age 4 around late 2023. The announcement comes from Giant Bomb contributor Jeff Grubb, who discussed the game's development in the most recent episode of Grub Snacks. Grubb said he anticipated the game's is, quote, at least 18 months away after being in development since 2017. While the news doesn't come as much of a shock, multiple insiders stated that there were no chance Dragon Age 4 will be released in 2022, just last month. This is the first real timeline we've been given for the project, even if it's just a bit broad. Apart from the newly anticipated release window, not much else is known about the installment of Dragon Age series. Reports state it will be set in Tevinter, and the team working on it will be scrapping all multiplayer or live service elements in favor of focusing on a robust single-player campaign, but additional information has yet to be confirmed. This announcement also comes shortly after the reveal of Dragon Age senior creative director Matt Goldman was leaving BioWare. While the abrupt departure raised some alarm when it was announced last November, BioWare GM Gary McKay assures fans that the team's commitment is to a high-quality Dragon Age game has not wavered, and we will not ship the same a game that is not up to BioWare standards. Based on Grubb's remarks, it seems like McKay's statement are holding up, and BioWare's quest to rebuild its reputation is moving along as planned. End quote, end story, but I do want to go to the story real quick. I did want to go ahead and go here real quick because there was something that was on GameSpot that was actually updated. And here we go. Let's see. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Dragon Age, Dragon Age, Dragon Age. Where art thou, Dragon Age? All right. Let's see. All right, and as I'm looking for this, Mill Dewey Carrot, your thoughts about Dragon Age?
I mean, I need it. I need to know more about what's going on with Solus. Yes, I'm saying the name. Everyone should know him, even if you haven't played the game. That's not showing so much on there, but giving you questions now about what's at the end of the game. So. Sorry if I did that, but no, I need to know what's. I need to know the rest of it. I need to know the story. It's such a good story. I am not going to put all my eggs in the basket for this one. About the 18 months, because we are currently still going through COVID situations and all, pandemic and all. So I'm going to be happy that they're saying that they are expecting sometime here in about 2023. I'll be more excited when we actually get a final date on it. I also can't wait to see some trailers, which, to be honest, they may do coming soon. But to be honest, if they're saying 2023, I wonder if they'll not do anything until maybe like a small teaser midway and then do an actual reveal trailer. Like a more like maybe gameplay and stuff, like cinematic trailer during the 2022 VGA.
I'm kind of in that same like, boat too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say E3 time zone area, they do like a teaser launch trailer, and then around the VGAs, and they actually do like a gameplay or something if they're going off the 18-month time frame.
I'm kind of in that same boat too. I think what they're doing right now, I'm actually seeing if I can Dragon Age. Try to get some news up in here. 18 months. News, but I'm in that same boat too as well. I'm ready for another Dragon Age. It's been a while. The way they ended this last one definitely is appealing, and I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with the new world with more choices and stuff like that. It's trying to see if BioWare will get back to their roots of making games versus what they've been doing. So very curious about that. I do think that we're going to probably see something likely E3, Summer Games Fest time frame as well. We might even get a release date. And then I think closer to the VGAs is when we get like another hype trailer, all that good stuff. Maybe some like pre-orders will get early access to something like this. Ultimately, I'm definitely excited about this. Going on over to It's the Nine Ball. Your thoughts about this?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I actually makes me interested. I got to go through it, though. I got to go through part one. I got to go to part three.
Then I promise you, it's like ripping off a band-aid. Once you get through part one, and then finish part one, when you start part two, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. Because it is a dated game. It's an older game, but Part 2 and Inquisition do not feel dated like Part 1 does. The very first one is extremely dated.
So for anyone listening, and what Malachi is talking about is, so Dragon Age Origins is the first in the series. It was like kind of their first run with this whole setup with the choice-based systems and all. So it's a very dated system. So in other words, what we're saying by dated means... you pretty much just had lines of text and you had to read the text to determine how it's probably going to react to a person versus them giving you that little clue of it's a heart, it's an angry priest, it's a comedy, it's an intellectual, it's what are you doing, you know? No, they don't give you any of that. Like, you have to read it. And then, like, I sort of got someone put a filter on those things and threw them in there then, because like half the time, like what's comedy and what's not, it doesn't show up in the same spot. So like you have to read through the whole thing. Not only that, but the graphics system is really old in terms of textures and everything. Still uses 3D models, but not like advanced 3D models. But then I don't remember the gap between Origins and Dragon Age 2 there.
This is a pretty... I remember that pretty well.
Yeah. It's you could tell, though. It's a huge gap, because huge by the time you get into Dragon Age 2, like, you're almost up to, like, I don't know, Fable level graphics and meshes and everything, and like, and just going further probably. But yeah, so there's a huge jump between the two.
Yeah. And even to take it even further, so like the combat itself in Dragon Age Origins, which I don't remember this my first time playing it through, but when I went back after years of playing it and coming back to it, it was almost turn-based. It's not turn-based, but it was like more, everything was almost on cooldown, even your auto attacks. It felt that way. In Dragon Age 2, it was like, if you're a warrior, you're able to slice them up, slice and dash, almost like a hack and slash. Your character in Dragon Age 2 has voice acting. He doesn't inside the first one. It's just a model, and it is what it is. Also, on top of that, some of the recording that was happening in Dragon Age 1 sounded like they were recording in a bathroom. Like,
it probably were.
Like, and like, even when they got hit, your guy doesn't talk, but he makes sound effects. So I'm like, like it literally sounded like that. And you can definitely tell that it's definitely an aged game for sure. Which was surprising because I do not, like, my first time playing it, I did not get that vibe from it at all. But after being disconnected from it for so many years and come back to it, I was like, wow, like, this is what I played. So, yeah.
And it's what we'll torture our children with so they understand the evolution of gaming.
Mm-hmm. Facts. But, yeah, but once you get through the first, and even, and it's so weird because the game design for the first one is like they knew what they were doing as far as like what they were presenting us, because halfway through, after you get used to the combat, then it gets a lot more fluent and fast and it doesn't feel as jarring, because that first couple of hours that you're playing through it, it does feel very like, okay, I'm just trying to get through this and all that good stuff. But then, yeah, but once you get about halfway through, that's when it's just like, okay, I can hang on tight. Now I'm for this ride. It's a lot more fast-paced. Cooldowns are almost like this now. And then, yeah, Dragon Age 2 is just... Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition just take it up a level each time.
I still love Meryl from Dragon Age 2. Oh, my God, that elf.
Yeah. Something else.
Oh, my God.
I will admit, I was an absolute player on Dragon Age 2.
Now, for those of you who do not want to play Dragon Age Origins, who don't like playing dating games, you can start with Dragon Age 2. I would recommend you find a wiki and kind of just read up on the lore of the Dragon Age universe. Just do the
Dragon Age Keep, really.
I mean, you can do that too. Like, you're going to have to do the Dragon Age Keep anyways when you go into an Inquisition, because right. There's an issue with the Codex and they couldn't transfer. But what I'm saying is, for those who don't want to play through one, like, if you want to know more about the backstory of like what they're talking about in the world, you can like pull up a wiki and read through it and just kind of like, you know, just figure out like what's going on from there and like who the characters are and all that. So
but ultimately cannot wait for Dragon Age Dreadwolf. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. That's at least what I'm anticipating. And 18 months is not that far away. We're already 3 months inside 2022, so bring it on is what I say. Bring it on.
Yep.
And I did go ahead and find that article, which shows the by Jessica Howard, which is what we just read. At the top, she says, "Update: the original copy of the report stated that the game would be ready within 18 months. However, Grubb has since stated that the game is actually at least 18 months away from release. The store has been updated to reflect this correction." So I'm pretty sure I read that, but just for the sake of saying it, so right there, it looks like that from what Jeff Grubb is saying and predicting. It's not really a prediction, because Jeff Grubb is like in the thicket of stuff. Like, he's definitely a journalist that be rubbing shoulders with Xbox and some of these big name developers. And so he's saying that it's expected to be released in the next 18 months, which is very exciting for us Dragon Age fans. So, there you have it. Going on over. Oh, why would I have this up? Okay. Mm-hmm. Going on over to the next story, which is story number 4. Bethesda Launcher is closing. Hiren Krier from GamesRadar says this in their article. "The Bethesda PC launcher is being retired, with the entire games library being transferred to Steam. Bethesda announced the fairly sudden change, of course, for its PC launcher earlier today, February 22nd. At some point in early April, the Bethesda PC launcher will begin shutting up shop, and users will be able to transfer any games they own over to Steam Library. However, it won't be until May that the launcher will be officially closed its doors. The early April period is when transfers from Bethesda launchers to Steam will officially kick off, but users on the Bethesda PC launcher will still be able to play their games on said launcher until May. Basically, this gives users a month-long window to transfer their games library on over to Steam. It's not only the games library that's taking a hike, though. Any money that you currently hold onto your wallet for Bethesda PC launcher can also be transferred to your Steam wallet with immediate effect as of early April." So this is one that me and Nineball were talking off stream. I'm going to be honest with you and completely transparent. I didn't even know that Bethesda even had a launcher. Nineball said that he forgot that they even had a launcher. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where I was just like, all right, cool. I mean, Yeah, everything's being transferred on over to Steam. If you have a Steam account, cool. If you don't have one, you might want to get and only have the Bethesda launch on your PC. You might want to consider getting one so that way you don't miss out on anything. I'm wondering if there's going to be like a refund option if people don't want to have a Steam account and they have a Bethesda account. Like they're just like, hey, I'm not going to have a Steam account. Can you just transfer any money that's in my wallet? Can you just give that back to me? So very curious of how that's going to go. And then also, like it's not really entirely surprising to me that they're shutting down their launcher, especially with them being under Xbox now. Like, there's no need for it, to be completely honest with you. And apparently there's no need for it even before that. So this is just a little bit of news that I threw out there in case anybody that is listening right now on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, anything like that. If you guys have a Bethesda launcher or Bethesda login for your Bethesda launcher, you might want to jump on that before May. Does anyone have any commentary on that, or is this more of like, oh, that's interesting?
I'm surprised that
you're muted, the eyeball.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had to grab something real quick. So I just found something out. Apparently, I had a Bethesda account because apparently I got passwords and stuff for it. I think it was back a long time ago when I got Fallout 76. I think they tried to force you to put it on Bethesda's account.
Interesting.
A little bit there, and it didn't work. Side of that, it's probably, if you have a Bethesda account and you're using it actively, you're probably using it on your Stadia. Okay? I don't think
many people... What's that, Nineball?
It's just Ask Bethesda. They know. I forgot they even had... Outside of that, I forgot they even had a Bethesda. Let me see. I don't even think I have it on here. No, I never put it back. God, I never put my Bethesda.
I think I've got a Bethesda account because when I was trying to do mods on PlayStation, when they finally allowed it for Fallout 4.
I remember that.
You had to make a Bethesda account to be able to even do it. Yeah,
the engine thing they was doing. I remember that.
It was the worst thing ever, which is why I rebought it on Steam and did it from there. But I'm still going to go online and just, you know, check it out and see if I've got, you know, if there's anything there or something I need to pay attention to. But last time I remember, I think I just did it for the mods. Other than that, I kind of surprised that they just don't offer Xbox too, you know, saying, hey, if you got an Xbox Game Pass or something, transfer it to there or whatnot. I don't know.
To be honest, if you're on Xbox or PlayStation, you wouldn't have a Bethesda launcher. Why would you have a Bethesda launcher?
No, I'm saying, with those who had the Bethesda launcher.
Yeah.
Why can't go to the Game Pass since Xbox has the capability of doing Game Pass?
Well, because it's already going to be included.
For the month. I understand. It would be included, but it's like, that's like in the rotating roster, but it's like if you've already owned it through Bethesda. Like, why can't they just activate a key in Game Pass and you just locks in saying you own that game now from through Game Pass? So
how come that was just
just a curiosity.
Though, is that I get what you're saying as far as the rotating library, but the that's the thing. Bethesda games are not going to be rotating. Period. They're permanently on Game Pass. All Xbox Halo. Starfield, Redfall, anything that's like Xbox Studios and owned by Xbox is just going to be on Game Pass, period. So all of those Bethesda games, they're forever going to be on Game Pass as long as Xbox owns them.
And then so I got a...
Go ahead.
So I got a better idea. How about they just never do this again?
I mean, they don't have to. They're not going to. They don't have to worry about that anymore.
Hope nobody ever does that again.
Hence the reason why I think that they're getting rid of the launcher, because they're just like, all right, well, we're underneath Xbox now. There's nothing else for us to really do here. We just got to make games. That's our only purpose now.
Well, nobody even had the launcher to begin with. I don't even understand why it was made.
They were probably trying to act like Epic.
Yeah, Steam. No, you ain't going to beat Steam.
Steam is so cemented in there. Even Xbox and even Microsoft looks at them and goes, "You guys have fun."
Yeah,
like they ain't gonna touch that.
I think it was because they seen EA do it. And it was, oh, they did it, and it was like that little kid. It's not fair. EA's got their own launcher. Can't we have ours?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even so, like when. That's just kind of how businesses work in general. They find something, they see something that somebody else is doing and it works for them. So then they try to do it because then you have the Ubisoft launcher, you have the Bethesda launcher, you have
what the, launcher? Whatever
Ubisoft is trying to do or whatever. And yeah, but like they have all these different types of launchers that's just kind of out or even being in the process. Like even take Game Pass for example. Like Game Pass has been out for a while. We started seeing more of the success of Game Pass in the past, like, year and a half, 2 years now. And now PlayStation is going to be answering to that by coming out with their Project Spartacus, whatever that's going to be. Like they're having, like, all that's just kind of how businesses' minds work in general for whatever reason. But, yeah, so but now with Bethesda, going back to the Bethesda launcher deal, I think at this point they're just like, yep, well, we're under Xbox. We don't need, we're under Xbox. All we have to do is worry about doing games, and we're good to go.
I don't even know why they had it. Math out.
Story number 5, numero 5. Final Fantasy 14 has its free trial incoming. Vicky Blake from Games Radar says this in her article. Final Fantasy XIV will once again be offering free trials from next week. Addressing fans in his latest letter to the producer live stream, producer director Naoki Yoshida confirmed that the now servers were more stable again. The game's generous free trial. Oh wait a minute. Now that servers were more stable again, the game's generous free trials, which gives players a chance to play the game. Before fully committing, will be available again from February 22nd on both PC and PlayStation console. Developer Square Enix was forced to temporarily suspend free. They weren't forced. She says forced, but I think that they decided that because of what was going on. But anyway, developer Square Enix was forced to temporarily suspend free trials and digital sales for the highly successful MMORPG last December to keep up with the high demand and better lengthy queues for fans trying to join the game. Then, last month, the developer pulled out all the steps to keep its servers secure, including opening a new Oceanian data center, and expansions of Japanese, European, and North American data centers are scheduled throughout 2022. Quote, just over a month from Endwalker's launch, Final Fantasy XIV has arguably never seen a better shape than it has been right now, he wrote. It might take you potentially hours to get into the MMORPG in the first place. Hell, you can't even get into the game at all right now if you're a brand new prospective player. But what awaits you after is a vast welcoming player base, dungeons with hordes of players chomping at the bit to squad up, and an enthralling new storyline and subsequent lands to explore, and so much more. Whether you're a new player returning to Eorzea after a little break, there really isn't a better time to experience Final Fantasy XIV for yourself. In case you missed it, yesterday's Final Fantasy XIV producer-director Naoki Yoshida confirmed that there are no plans of incorporating any sorts of NFTs and elements in the game at this point. End quote, end story. So there you guys have it. You guys already know I'm a huge advocate when it comes to Final Fantasy. I love Final Fantasy XIV for sure. It's the Nine Ball also dabbles inside some Final Fantasy too as well. I know he's a huge fan of Final Fantasy VIII for sure. But I definitely want to throw out there, if you guys are interested in this, free trial, definitely worth checking it out. Open world. It's a beautiful, beautiful environment, if you will, and probably the best MMORPG that I personally have ever played. So, yeah. Any other additional commentaries at all before we actually end up the night?
Well, it's actually worth playing. I mean, I liked it. I got to get back on it, though. I've been busy with so much other stuff.
There's so many games that's out.
Horizon Forbidden West. Like, I've got so much out right now. It's just... It's nice that it's there, you know, and that it's, you know, that it's really doing well currently. So I'm definitely, you know, happy for it and happy for all those who are, you know, being able to play and continue playing and that they're still releasing content for it, because that's kind of one of the big kickers for MMOs. As we kind of saw with WoW, they kind of ran out of stuff to launch for it and they were going backwards to relaunching old stuff.
No, they had a bunch of internal problems that killed that company.
That was just a small thing, but there was a lot of other crap going on. For Final Fantasy, though, from what, and just from you guys and what I've heard around on the web, and all, just it's going strong and people love it. So, yeah, take advantage of it if you're looking for a decent MMO. I know my team's been trying to get me onto it, but I just get sidetracked so much with different stuff and all. So it's.
And that's especially with the time period we're in, makes absolute sense. Like, there's so many games that's out right now. And there's just more that's coming out. Forspoken's around the corner. You got Strangers of Paradise is around the corner.
Elden Ring.
Yeah, literally coming out this Friday. GT7, if you guys are any of the car racing games at all. And there's just a lot of games that's coming out. And it's just
GT7.
Yeah, this is a very exciting time to be a gamer. Very exciting time to be a gamer. Ladies and gentlemen, that actually wraps up our episode 8, season 2 of Alt Things Gaming for 2022. Ooh, yes.
I need to do one last plug.
Go ahead.
For anyone on Steam, Next Gen is currently going on. Nightingale did have to remind me of that because I completely missed it because I was lost in the Forbidden West. But Next Gen pretty much is where they have a lot of demos on Steam that you can install. For those who don't know, demos are free to play. They are shorter versions of the game, like little trials. But there's a lot of them out there on for it. So, and there are demos of games that are coming soon. So if you had something on your wish list and it's on here, you can now download a demo for it and give it a try and see if you want to keep it. Or maybe you find something on there that you didn't know about and you download the demo and you like it and you want to just go ahead then and add to your wish list. So, get on there, check out what these creators are doing. A lot of these people are indie to smaller base companies, so I'm pretty sure they would love to hear from you, see you play the game, the demo, and hear your feedback on it. So, yeah, that's all I had to say.
There you have it. Yes, so this Thursday is actually going to be open. We have a likely idea of what we're going to be doing for our next SIN segment, which is going to take place in March. Go give the boys a day off on Thursday so we can go ahead and just woosah and recollect our thoughts of Remnant from the Ashes, which was a great game. We had a good time playing that all the way through. I know Mildewy Carrot's thinking about going back and possibly playing some of the DLC content and everything like that. But we'll go ahead and give that Thursday a little bit of a breather time off. But starting next Thursday, we're going to start a new SIN segment, which right now we have a front runner. We have a front runner right now for next Thursday, but that will be confirmed next week as we get closer. And then next Tuesday is Alt Things Gaming. Once again, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nothing else outside of that. And you might be seeing a stream or two of Elden Ring over the weekend, because I know me and a couple of the boys are getting that at launch, and I will be streaming that. That's going to be a good time, so we'll kind of go and take a look at that. Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Peace, love, and all the grease.